Heaven as you, O most respectful one. When you were to be married, you disregarded all the kings who were assembled to seek your hand. And simply because you had heard authentic accounts concerning me, you sent a brahmana to me with your confidential message. 56, and the rest we could do together. Bratur virupakaranam yudinirjitasya prodvaha parvam tadvadas akshagoshtam dukham samutamasa hosma ayoga bhita naiva bravikimapite navayitaste. Translation. When your brother, who had been defeated in battle and then disfigured, was later killed during a gambling match on Aniruddha's wedding day, you felt unbearable grief, yet out of fear of losing me, you spoke not a word. By this silence, you have conquered me. Purport. Here, Lord Krishna refers to an event that will be described in the next chapter. Thus, Krishna talks with Rukmini must have taken place after the marriage of Aniruddha. 57. Dutastvayatma blabane suvikamantra prastapito maichirayati sunyata matvajihasaitamangamananya yogam Tishteta tattvaihayam pratinadayama. Translation. When you sent the messenger with your most confidential plan, and yet I delayed going to you, you began to see the world as a void and wanted to quit your body, which could never have been given to anyone but me. May this greatness of yours remain with you always. I can do nothing to reciprocate except joyfully thank you for your devotion. Purport. Srimati Rukmini Devi had no intention whatsoever of accepting any other husband but Lord Krishna, as she stated in her message to the Lord. Bhagavatam 10:52-43. Yahariyam bujaka na labhyata bhavat prasadam jayam ashun pratak Krishan sata janma bisyat. If I cannot obtain your mercy, I shall simply give up my vital force, which will have become weak from the severe penances I will perform. Then, after hundreds of lifetimes of endeavor, I may obtain your mercy. The Srimad Bhagavatam firmly establishes the unique glories of Queen Rukmini Devi. Text 58. Sri Shuka Uvacha Evam Surata Samlapir Swarato Ramayaremi Naralokam Vidambayam. Translation. Sukadev Goswami said, and so the self-satisfied Supreme Lord of the universe, enjoyed with the goddess of fortune, engaging her in lover's talks, and thus imitating the ways of human society. Purport. The word Vidambayan means imitating and also ridiculing. The Lord acted like a husband of this world, but his pastimes are transcendental and expose the perverted nature of mundane activities aimed at bodily sense gratification. Last verse. Tatanyasam api vidur. Priheshu Niva Ashtito Griha Median Dharman Loka Guru Hari. Translation. The Almighty Lord Hari, preceptor of all the worlds, similarly behaved like a conventional householder in the palaces of his other queens, performing the religious duties of a family man. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Krishna teases Queen Rukmini. Om Gyana Charmanasa Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakyam Tanyana Tasmarshi Gurve Nama. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutaya Shumita Satsuri Padaya Sankhama Satsuri Rupa Vidam Vandu Vingyam Shavadushinam Bhakti Gantan Raikanyam Bhakti Gantan Kachinam. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutaya Shumita Bhakti Vidam Prasami Namne Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Kachinam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Raita Garada Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakti Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. So we had quite an intrigue in this pastime with the Lord and Rukmini teasing her. First he taught her, and then he teased her, and he tested her. Can anyone remember what he, how he taught her, what lesson he taught her? Earlier Sukadev, Sri Sukadev Goswami, he related, whilst conversing with Maharaj Parikshit, he said that, here's the great Sukadev Goswami remarks that Krishna always passed his time with Rukmini. And Rukmini was a bit proud to be so fortunate that Krishna never left her for even a moment. Krishna, however, does not like any of his devotees to be proud. As soon as a devotee becomes so, by some tactic, he cuts down that pride. In this case also, Krishna said many things which were hard for Rukmini to hear. She could only conclude that although she was proud of her position, Krishna could be separated from her at any moment. So that was the first point. And then the Lord was testing her by giving her giving her a selection of all the kings. He tried to demote himself by saying that he was not really fit. It's just that he didn't like these kings, so that's why he did that. But really, these kings are powerful. He's just a simple country boy. And so you could choose whichever king you want. See? But then Rukmini, she expounded or she explained her love to the Supreme Lord in so many ways. And she explained the supreme nature of the Supreme, that he was not just ordinary and so forth. I mean, we went through the whole katha there. And so now the Lord is praising Rukmini. He is glorifying her. And the first verse, he's saying that he's saying that in all my palaces I can find no one or no wife more loving as you. See, he had 16,108 wives, and Rukmini was considered the foremost. See. She was the foremost of wives. But also there is a reason for that, because she is indeed one of the foremost of queens. I mean, she has, in one sense, we can say superior love for the Supreme. Unflinching, impeccable love for the Supreme. See? That despite how the Lord tried to disqualify himself and demote himself, she did not accept that. See? And it's stated that when the Lord humiliated her brother, Rukmi, if you remember the story, after Krishna defeated all the kings, then Rukmi was still adamant to pursue him. And In the midst of that, a battle ensued, and the Lord conquered him, and then he disfigured him. Actually, Rukmini begged him not to kill him at that point. See? But even after humiliating him like that, Rukmini did not protest, but she stayed quiet. See? In fear of losing him. Because she did not want to lose him. And then, later on, Rukmi, because he wanted to please Rukmini, he gave his daughter, to Anirudh. See? And in that event, again, if you remember the whole story, gambling and so forth, took place there. They wanted to challenge Balaram. They thought that, well, he's not good at gambling. And so they challenged him, and all this took place. And then Rukmi was cheating Balaram. And so Balaram just smashed him and killed him. And again, Rukmini stayed quiet. She did not say. So the Lord is saying here that you have went through all this melancholy, all this grief, all this sadness, but yet you did not protest, you did not say a word. And this is your stringent love for me. See? Your unflinching love for me. See? And then he said, also in the fourth verse, it stated here that Rukmini got to love the Lord, or to become captivated by him by simply hearing about him. See? And in, to some degree, this might be a little unusual, especially for our ears, but in Vedic times, this was there. Sometimes by just glorifying somebody, say someone glorifies Janamashmi, then his consort hears about that, she becomes attracted. See? In the Vedic times, not now. See? And so when Krishna was glorified, Rukmini became attracted to him. And so she was inflinching in wanting to have Krishna, but no one else. And then Krishna was glorifying her that if he delayed in his pursuit, she would not want to take anyone. She was a little anxious, in great anxiety that he will not show up. And she was prepared to give up her body and then perform penance for lifetime after lifetime. And this was very prevalent in the other ages. Like most of these great personalities, for example, Mother Sati, when she emulate herself in the fire and then try to regain the hand of Lord Shiva, she went through meditation for millions of years. See? We're doing our japa for a few hours in the morning, you know, and that for us is tough. We might start to sleep halfway through or whatever. But these personalities, they would be in penance, in austerities, for hundreds of thousands of years. Millions of years. So Mother Rukmini, she was prepared to do that. She was saying after fasting to death, then she would undergo severe austerity for a long, long time. See? And so Krishna, he is glorifying her. Also noted in the purport here, it stated that this event must have taken place after the marriage of Anirudh, because this is mentioned here, and indeed, that's what's happening here. Then, it's stated here, Sukadeva Goswami said, and so the self-satisfied Supreme Lord of the universe, enjoyed with the goddess of fortune, engaging her in love of stocks, and thus imitating the ways of human society. The self-satisfied Lord. Srila Prabhupada wrote a little bit here in the Krishna book. I like to refer to that. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna certainly has no business being anyone's husband or son or father, because everything belongs to him and everyone is under his control. He does not require anyone's help for his satisfaction. He is Atmarama, self-satisfied. He can derive all pleasure by himself without anyone's help. When the Lord descends to play the part of a human being, he plays a role either as a husband, son, friend, or enemy in full perfection. As such, when he was playing as the perfect husband of the queens, especially of Rukminiji, he enjoyed conjugal love in complete perfection. So anyhow, dear, it's stated that the self-satisfied Lord, and Rukmini knows of the transcendental nature of Krishna. She knew of his extraordinary qualities. She knew that he is self-satisfied. He does not need anyone or anything to make him satisfied. He is Atmarama. See? He can just sit down and meditate or whatever and he is simply satisfied. He can do that for millions of years. No problem. We've seen Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva would do that for thousands of years, one place, meditating. Who is he meditating on? He's meditating on the Supreme Lord. Actually, when asked what he's doing, he's... So it's stated here that the self-satisfied Lord... And so the self-satisfied Supreme Lord of the universe enjoyed with the goddess of fortune, engaging her in love of stocks, and thus imitating the ways of human society. We should also understand, and this is fundamental, because Srila Prabhupada over and over and over again, he established the point that Krishna is a supreme. He is the supreme being. See? He's a person. And as a person, he has feelings. He sees, he talks, he loves, he jokes. It's not that because he's joking with Rukmini, we should think that, oh, that is inferior, or that should not be. But that's the supreme, and he can do that too. See? This is the supreme person, and he does this in perfection. So the supreme is also joking with his loving wife. Just like every one of you joke with your loving wife also, right? Sometimes that's love is stuck and no one could criticize you for that. Oh, probably you're in Maya. No, you see? So you have that little prerogative. See? So similarly, the Lord is doing this and we should relish it also because he's doing it in a supreme way. He's doing this in a supreme way. And the last verse is the Almighty Lord Hari, preceptor of all the worlds, similarly behave like a conventional householder in the palaces of his other queens, performing the religious duties of a family man. So the Lord, he's doing the same in the other palaces with the 16,108 queens. See? But also the point I like here, the supreme preceptor, or the preceptor of all the worlds. Preceptor of all the worlds. Aham sarvasya prabhu. What he says that? Aham sarvasya prabhu. Janamashma? Can you? Mm-hmm. The English? Spiritual wars. Yeah, just that I wanted to. It just slipped my mind. Thank you. So Krishna, so sometimes he said, Imam Vivashvate Yogam Praktavanaham Avyayam Vivashvan Mannave Praha Manur Ikshvake Bravit. I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivashvan, and Vivashvan instructed it to man, the father of mankind, Manu instructed it to Ikshvaku. So he instructed this science first, not to Manu, but to Vivashvan. And where is Vivashvan? He's on the sun planet. And who is him? He's the sun god. So precept of all the worlds and all the universes, the Lord emanate this transcendental teachings. See? All the universes. And so sometimes the scientists with their meager intelligence and less informed knowledge, they tend to propagate, well, oh, there's life nowhere else, but it's just here. But here we see Krishna is preceptor of all the worlds. It means all the worlds have life also. Isn't that so? See? We may not be able to see it with our own eyes, but that's there. When Arjuna had to go to the heavenly planet, Vyasadeva taught Yudhishthira a mantra called the Pratismriti. Pratismriti is a special mantra that you learn, you have to memorize. And then you gain a lot of powers, and then you can able to see. So the beings living in so many other places. It stated when Arjuna was traveling, he was able to see the Siddhas, the Charnas, the Gandharvas, the Apsaras, the Pitris, the Sadhyas, the Vishvadevas, the Maruts, the Ashwins, the Adityas, and the Vasus. None of these beings can we see with our blunt eyes, our blunt senses. It's not possible. But all these beings exist there. And so all these beings are living. All the other planets we're seeing, like Moon and Sun and Neptune and all these planets are inhabited by all these different beings. So despite how the scientists would try with their test tubes and this and that, it would not be possible to see it through the material, blunt material senses. And so they can go on for millions of years trying to understand, but it's not possible. It's when we are endowed with spiritual eyes, then we can see these things. And then we can understand these things. And then we can understand that the Lord is preceptor of all the universes. And the sun also have beings. Beings residing there in fiery bodies. See? Because the soul is transcendental to all matter. The soul is not burnt by the sun, burnt by fire, withered by the wind, dried up, caught by any weapon. The soul is transcendental. And it can take on a fitting body to exist anyway in one of these regions. And we have to understand, we have to see through the shastras, through the eyes of the shastras. We don't have to bring any scientists to convince us, or paleontologists to convince us. One time when I spoke about the dinosaurs, and they have to be one of the 8,400,000 species. They have to be. See? 8,400,000 of life has been created within the universe. So any remnants we see of fossils or anything has to be. We don't have to be convinced by the backward paleontologists or scientists to be convinced of this. See? And we have to see through the eyes of the scriptures, and we have to understand this. We don't have to take knowledge from the outside sources. See? So, sorry about that really, but I get a little fired up sometimes when I think. And before I conclude, I like to relate a quick ancient story that that one personality fell in love with another personality by just hearing about him. In ancient times, there was a great Nishada king called Nala. And he was endowed with great beauty. He was actually more beautiful than the demigods. See? And then there was a great queen. She was a princess, Damayanti. I know some of you might have heard of this story. And she was beautiful even more than the demigoddess. See? And Nala was such a great king. He was such a great king that his popularity was spread throughout the world. And so all the great poets and so would glorify him to Damayanti. And similarly, Damayanti was so beautiful and chaste that the poets would glorify her also to Nala. And then one day one swan flew to Nala, a set of flan flew to Nala, and Nala tried to grab one, and grabbed one. It was like a golden swan. And the swan said, "Please don't kill me, but I would tell you a great story." And then he started, "I would help you." And then he glorified Damayanti to Nala, and then he told Nala, "I would go and glorify you to Damayanti," and he did the same. And then Damayanti asks, so by Damayanti hearing about Nala, she fell in love with him. And by Nala hearing about Damayanti, he fell in love with him. You see? So in Vedic times, this way was there. You see that, or this is one case, one event whereby by Damayanti hearing about Nala, she fell in love with him. See? And here, by Rukmini hearing about Krishna attributes, she fell in love with him and she did not want him. I mean, there's so much more about that story. I know many of you must have heard of that story about Nala and Damayanti. But I'll stop here. If there's any comment or correction or question, and if it's difficult for me, we have Janamashmi here to help me. Okay, yes, Keshava Prabhuji.
I just looked up Nala and Damayanti on the folio. Well, it says here, like you were saying, there are many stories of sati, or chaste women. And then it says Nala Damayanti. Huh? Prabhupada, yeah. Let's see, like a conversation. Bhagavad Gita 140, July 28, 1973, London class. So, let's see here.
Yeah, so that's been there, and even they may have even made a movie of Nala and Damayanti. Maybe in ancient time. Yeah, they would do that because they used to. Yeah. I mean, I've heard of all of Vedic stories that they've made movies, but Nala and Damayanti is also great. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.